For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag.
It's a moment and a game that kids dream about as they're growing up learning the game of basketball.
Fight.
The Lakers repeat back-to-back titles. The LA Lakers, the 2010 NBA champion. And that's it, it's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Hashtag Lakers podcast presented by betonline.ag and balance7.com. I'm Yoel Legazzo. I'm here with McKay Westbrook, and we're also joined by a guest on the show, Matt Moderno, who hosts Believe in Wizards podcast, part of our network, and he hosts it with Larry Hughes, and he writes for Bullets Forever as well. So Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy to be here. Always happy to talk more hoops with a couple folks, a couple network buddies.
Yeah, man. Hey, and I really appreciate you hopping on, because we're gonna talk about your old pal here, Russell Westbrook. That obviously he's now a Los Angeles Laker, and we do want to on this first segment kind of talk about how Russell Westbrook performed. Right, this last season with you guys, with the Wizards, and then take a break after that, and then talk about how he sort of could fit with the Lakers. A lot of talk has been generated already, so we'll kind of just talk about that and see what we what comes of the conversation here. Matt, let us know, like, how was Russell Westbrook last season with the Wizards?
So I would say on balance, more good than bad, but it was a little up and down. I mean, he started the year a little banged up. There was a hamstring injury, quad injury. I already can't remember. I want to say hamstring. That really seemed to limit him. I mean, you think about Russell Westbrook, and it's posterizing guys and, you know, getting his own rebound and pushing the ball in transition. And he literally could not dunk for the first like 5 or 6 weeks of the season. And that should tell you something. You got to give him a lot of credit, because he's a guy that will always try to play through stuff like that if he can. And I think it would have been better for this organization if they had said early, like, hey, we need to save you from yourself a little bit here and just rest, recover, and get into it. They dug themselves a pretty big hole, and he was kind of, you know, largely responsible, he and Bradley Beal, for getting them out of that hole. So I give him a lot of credit. It wasn't always sort of the prettiest, I would say. You got to take the good with the bad, and there certainly is more good than bad, but you know, you become a hater, I guess, if you say any of the bad things out loud. So we can get a little more into that if you want. But overall, I think it was a positive experience for us as Wizards fans.
You know, it's kind of funny that, you know, you talk about some of the bad things that you become a hater, mm-hmm. as soon as you mention any of the bad stuff with these players. My comments on Russell Westbrook last year, I remember when we're doing one of our podcasts, is, you know, I think he was just coming off of that injury, and he was looking a little bit gimpy, and he didn't look like his old self. And I made the comment that he would never be an all-star again, that he was, you know, basically washed up, you know, he was past his prime and that he was done. And I think I kind of said that a little bit too early. Maybe I hated on him a little bit too much.
So he is past his prime. It doesn't mean he's totally washed, and sure. He may actually never be an all-star again. So you might not be wrong, but he did look better.
You know? Hard to say. I feel like whenever you come to Lakerland, you immediately get a huge influx of the fan votes anyway.
I mean, look at Alex Caruso, right?
Right. Exactly. If Alex Caruso can be in the running for All-Star, I think Russell Westbrook's got a heck more of a chance than than him. I mean, he's a walking triple-double. He's had, what, four seasons where he's averaged a triple-double. I don't know that he'll do the same in L.A. I mean, you tell me, do you feel like Russell Westbrook padded his stats a little bit in Washington the way he did kind of over at OKC?
I mean, so like the rebounds thing, like that's the one everyone points to, is that like he tells centers to get out of his way so he gets rebounds. Well, the coaching staff actually wanted him to do that too, because now you don't have to throw the outlet pass or worry about a potential turnover. And it's, if you're going to play fast, that's not a bad way to do it, to have the ball instantly in your point guard's hands. Also, the Wizards were just a terrible rebounding team for the most part anyway, so that was a huge boost for us. So I don't know that it's necessarily stat padding. I think the thing that it was sort of a weird dynamic between like the Westbrook fans and like the OG Wizards fans all year. And I think part of that dynamic was our broadcast crew is just terrible, like just literally terrible. And they would lose a game by like 27 and never mention the fact that we lost the game. And we would just talk about the triple double. So like at a certain point, that anytime, like we all had triple double PTSD by like 2 months into the year. So, you know, stat pad, like I think is probably a little extreme, but do they sort of structure things in such a way that he does get more counting stats than he probably would organically? I think that's probably fair.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it feels like a little bit to me. And I don't want it to be one of those things like we've heard Carmelo Anthony in the past, that in the locker room, he's been pissed if he had a bad shooting night, even though they win the game, but they, you know, they get blown out, but he puts up 30 and he's ecstatic. You know, we don't want, you know, things like that where we're getting praised for great stats or.
So it was never Westbrook himself celebrating triple doubles, especially in a loss. So you guys are going to love hearing him in post game commentary. And I don't know if any of the Wizards fans are listening to this, I might get killed for this one too, but Brad Beal has a tendency to not guard anyone an entire game. And then when they lose, spend the whole post game talking about how guys need to play more defense. If Westbrook had a 40 point triple double and single-handedly kept them in a game, if they lost, he would go and talk about, hey, I missed this layup here, or I missed this pass here, or I missed that rotation there. And it was always, here's what I did that lost us the game. Never, here's what those guys did to lose me the game. So I think as fans, you guys are going to love that kind of stuff from him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I see Russell Westbrook as having that Mamba mentality. He's going to give you 100% on both ends of the floor, and he's out there to get you a win, you know, regardless of how well he is or isn't doing, whether or not he's going for the triple double or not, you know.
It just might not be super efficient.
Sure. So that's, I mean, that's one of my worries is, you know, some of the shooting woes that he's had in the past, especially looking back to the bubble in Houston. I kind of feel like he was a big part of them not winning their series, you know, getting kicked out of the playoffs. But he was also battling an injury there. And, you know, I hope he's not he's able to avoid those injuries coming to LA. I hope he's able to get away from that and, you know, not have to put so much wear and tear on his body with how much he should be able to share the ball and share the minutes with everybody else around him, because I feel like he's like one of those players like Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was very nearly out of the NBA because he lost a lot of his athletic ability due to injury. Luckily, he was able to change his game up enough to kind of make that resurgence and play well. I mean, Russell Westbrook's nowhere near that level of injury, right. You know, but I would hate to see him go down that path, especially, you know, having that hard time shooting at times.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know. Honestly, I really have a hard time picturing him getting a triple double this season, honestly, because, I mean, you have to share the floor with LeBron James
on average,
right?
You don't think he'll get any?
He might get one. Like at a lucky night, maybe LeBron sitting out.
I will strongly take that bet, my friend.
Really? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
LeBron's going to miss a few. Davis is going to miss a few. This man is literally a human vacuum with the rebounds, and I think that assists will just naturally come. So I would.
Well, I'm sure. I know that. I mean, I'm really excited for him to come. Like this, he's one of the most dynamic guards that the Lakers are going to have. That we've had ever, like ever, honestly. Like, he's so athletic. I mean, what was his totals last season? He averaged 22 points, 11 assists, 11 rebounds easily. And that just goes to show you, like, the type of player that he is, the energy that he brings to the court. I have questions, right? I have questions about how that will fit with LeBron James, and I want to talk about that more later in the second segment. So why don't we go ahead and segue awkwardly to that, take a break here, and then come back, talk about that, right? So guys, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Welcome back to the Hashtag Lakers podcast. I'm here with McKay Westbrook and Matt Moderno, and we are going to talk a little bit about Westbrook, his fit with the Lakers, with LeBron James, Anthony Davis. You know, why don't we go ahead and start with that, right? We were talking about that before the break, sort of how he will fit with LeBron, right? Because I think that's one of the big concerns that are out there, is how he would do that, and given the just the type of players they are, and given the makeup of the team, some have mentioned spacing issues and so forth. McKay, you've alluded to this on the last segment, right? The general consensus right now is like they're gonna let Westbrook shoot, right, and kind of sag off LeBron James. It's a concept that we know of, McKay, as Lakers fans, because that's what we did against him when we beat them in the second round of the playoffs back in 2020, right? We the strategy that we had. We sagged him off, and you could see him wide open for threes. And so forth. So, you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that concern. Let's talk about his fit with LeBron James and this team, and Anthony Davis, obviously.
So I actually think it's a better fit in LA than it was in Washington, because just the makeup of the Wizards roster, it was so top heavy, and you have to rely on him to be a top 10 player based on what he makes, and not being able to afford much around him other than Beal. But in LA, that's sort of not the case, right? I mean, he's basically an insurance policy during the regular season. So if either LeBron or Davis miss some time here or there, you've still got another top end guy to help do that. And I would be surprised if they don't find a way to kind of like stagger all three of them. So, you know, that there's not, all three of them aren't going to play together, you know, the entire time and things like that. Or maybe even from game to game, maybe different. Somebody sits on the first night of a back-to-back, somebody sits on the back, you know, the back end, like that sort of thing. But just looking at it from the Lakers perspective, like you guys just need him to be better than the people that were at that position last year. And that's already an upgrade. He's better than Dennis Schroeder. Like he's better than Alex Caruso. So it just, the fit isn't perfect. Like you alluded to there. But the shooting, while frustrating at times, I think the shot selection is almost more of an issue than the shooting. So hopefully, like how many guys have come in next to LeBron and sort of gotten their act together sort of from that perspective. So like people worried about Dwight Howard a couple of years ago, that turned out reasonably well, I would say. So I'm hoping that they can kind of help, I don't know, reform him and some of the decision-making from especially from a shooting perspective, but he was exceedingly clutch last year. I can't remember the exact stat off the top of my head, but whatever they defined as like clutch shooting percentage in the final 5 minutes or something like that, he led the league for most of the year. So that's another guy that you can't really leave open to close a game, and you can't leave LeBron open, and you can't leave Davis open. So yeah, it might be clunky at times during the regular season, but he's a floor raiser for the Lakers, I think, overall. And you know, we'll just see what the defense and things like that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to come in and he's going to be interchangeable with LeBron. Just like what you said, Yoel mentioned that he's such a dynamic player that I think he's going to be perfectly fine wherever we decide to put him. You know, we've seen these kind of combos over the last few years with some ball dominant players that we didn't think that they would fit. And I mean, by no means did these duos necessarily go and win championships, thinking back to Chris Paul and James Harden, as well as Russell Westbrook and James Harden, but they were able to make it work, you know, and they ended up playing pretty well together. I think Russell Westbrook coming to the Lakers, I think they're going to be able to figure it out. I think Russell Westbrook probably has a lot more respect for LeBron James than most any other player in this league. And I really hope he's able to, I don't know that if it's necessarily a total reformation, but he will be okay with taking kind of that backseat. I know he's always wanted to kind of be that number one guy, and you know, that's just not what it's going to be when you throw together a super team all the time. Especially when LeBron James is on the floor, he's going to have to take a little bit of a backseat, but I think he'll still be able to flourish. It might take some adjustment. But I think overall, they're going to be able to get it figured out.
So as much as everybody did the Wizards are Bradley Beal's team, I mean, Westbrook came in from day one and was sort of the unquestioned leader of the locker room. And that isn't really a knock on Beal. It's just sort of the presence that Westbrook has and his stature around the league. But not having a strong coach last year in Scott Brooks, I think he sort of had, you know, carte blanche to do whatever it is he wanted to do. And there wasn't really like a strong offensive system. So I think that led to a lot of the frustration that fans here had with him. Just Wizards were 29th in total passes in the NBA last year. And I want to say 27th in actual player distance covered on court, you know, per game. So the ball just didn't move a lot. I don't think, you know, LeBron's going to let Westbrook stand at the top of the key and dribble 15 times until he can cross over into a 17-foot bank shot four possessions in a row. Like, I just can't see that.
That's interesting. And I want to talk a little bit about that later in terms of like the fast break. And I think that's going to be something that the Lakers are really going to benefit from because of his ability, like you had mentioned about rebounding and then somehow being able to sort of look at the playing field and pass it out, you know, do an outlet pass to someone who's open running to the rim. But I want to talk about that later. I do want to go back to the LeBron thing. Like one of the things, like I said that I had concerns about the fit, not because I don't believe they're going to fit, but because it's yet to be, it's like, I want to see it first, right? I want to see if it actually happens, right? Like one of the plays that I envision is LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, using, you know, some sort of high pick and roll action where Westbrook is the screener, right? And in that situation, the defense will be forced to switch. And by switching, you put a defender, a smaller one, who is guarding Russ, having to deal with LeBron James. So, like, you know, the defense will then have to decide, you know, do we double LeBron James or do we just let him have his way with the smaller guard? And if you double him, right, then Russ is going to be open. Sure, like I'm going to talk about Russell Westbrook, his shooting, right? He shot, what, 30% from three last season, and that's pretty much his average, his career. But if you take a closer look at it, if you take a look at the his wide open threes, he shot at 35%, which is at league average, right? Maybe just a little bit above, but at league average. And that's pretty good. But, you know, I think more often than not, he's going to take it to the rim, right? And he's going to create a situation where there's going to be two defenders behind him because they're guarding LeBron James. And the defense is going to collapse because they're going to have to try to defend this guy who's going full steam at them. And they're going to scramble, and he'll either go for a layup, a dunk, maybe with a potential N1, or kick it out to someone who is now open because the defense had collapsed. So that's one of the things that I envision happening. Will it happen? Hopefully. It's yet, like, remains to be seen, right? Now going to your comment on like, you know, the fast breaks, I think, you know, Pete Zayas, I don't know if you know, I mean, he's pretty famous in Laker Twitter, Lakerland. He works for the Lakers, but he also has a podcast out there, Laker Film Room.
Gotcha. Yep.
Laker Film Room, right? Yeah. Everyone knows Laker Film Room. Okay. Lakers posted this video, Rebound and Run. I thought it was very informative in terms of explaining how Westbrook could help us in our fast break. Before I go into it, I do want to get your perspective on fast breaks. Like, how did the Wizards benefit from sort of, because you mentioned the big centers, they're doing this sandwich move where we're boxing out the other big and allowing Westbrook to jump up and get the rebound, right? So why don't you, from your perspective, how did the Wizards sort of benefit from his rebound, fast break?
So the Wizards are just kind of a mess, right? I mean, I think that's a large product of a lot of the things you could talk about from Russ last season. While Thomas Bryant was still healthy, he's not a particularly good defensive rebounder. So Russ was a boost there. Robin Lopez, not actually that good a defensive rebounder, really good at boxing out, like sealing off his man, all those kinds of things. He excels at, except actually grabbing the ball. So having Westbrook come in and do that, I think was actually a benefit to them. And, you know, one of the challenges for the Wizards too is just there wasn't much in the way of 3-point shooting last year. Bradley Beal had a down year. Davis Bertans was like a total and utter bust for most of the season. And they were one of the last, if not, I want to say the last team in the league in terms of 3-point shooting. So, you know, the thing with Westbrook, like, ideally, if you can't collapse around him because there's so many people spreading the floor around him, he's so much more dangerous. But they could just pack the lane and wall up against Russ, you know, treat him like a mini Giannis. And there was really no one for him to competently kick it out to make them pay. I think you can talk all you want about, like, shooting woes potentially with the Lakers, but I would be much more scared to see Malik Monk shoot a wide open three than I would Isak Bonga or whoever, you know, the Wizards had spotting up on the wing for large stretches of last year, Ish Smith, like, the, you know, those kinds of guys. So I think for the Lakers, that'll be huge because you can't really stop him one-on-one, but you can't leave LeBron. You can't leave AD. You can't leave, you know, name seven other guys. Like, it, even if they're only in the low 30s or whatever, there's still not people you want to leave open.
I think Russell's going to come in and just kind of like what you said, because we've got so much depth in our role players and our shooters, I think they're going to come in and make him all that much better. You know, you've got the players in the league that they come in and they affect the rest of the team and make them better, which I think Russell Westbrook will do in some regards. I think he'll do that through his leadership in the locker room and hopefully out on the floor. But I think our depth is definitely going to come in and make him better. I'm anxious to see kind of the court culture that we have. I hope that we keep that defensive court culture. I would love to see a lot of movement and a lot of fast breaks. We've got some fairly athletic people on our team, albeit higher in age, but you know, we've got the ability to make it down the court pretty quick and do some good things in transition. So I'm excited to see that as well.
And he'll help with that. It's the half court is going to be more the challenge with him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the half court is going to be a challenge, just the clunkiness of that. But maybe it'll work out. We'll see what like the great minds of Rondo and LeBron James and the coaching staff come up with to kind of mitigate all the risks that are there in the half court, but with the full court, like with the fast break, I think he's really gonna really push the pace for us. Like I was saying, just we've seen it many times over the years where we face Westbrook. He just has the ability to just rebound, right? A defensive rebound, get a defensive rebound, read the playing field, and react to it, and kind of just like LeBron James, and generate that outlet pass to an open player. And man, like McKay, you were mentioning we have some of the guys. AD's not that old, right? He's still in his prime.
Is he the youngest guy on the team?
He's
at this
getting
point?
Injured.
Horton Tucker?
No, I think Tucker might be. If you don't count the two way players, right? But like AD is one of the best guys that runs to the rim right after a defensive rebound for the fast break. Like his quickness, his ability, we saw it so many times, McKay, where LeBron James would get the rebound and then throw it like a football pass to AD, who's on the other side for a touchdown, right? So I think Russell Westbrook could do the same thing and complement AD in that way and get AD more looks that way. I know that he was very frustrated with Dennis Schroeder this last season with not getting enough touches or plays at the rim or things like that. So we'll see if Russ can change the game here and pick up the pace for the Lakers. McKay, you also mentioned defense. I do want to talk about that. You had mentioned also, Matt, about defense. Let's talk about defense, right? This is definitely Russ's strength, right?
There were moments, right? Like, he would take the challenge and, you know, when the Wizards are in a state where they're asking Westbrook or Bradley Beal to be the ones to have to cover Jason Tatum late in a playoff game, it tells you a lot about the state of their roster and just sort of the absence of that like 3-and-D guy around him. So he was never like kind of the back down from a challenge guy, which is good, but it was inconsistent and the effort itself was inconsistent. So there were nights where he'd lock up somebody that you didn't expect him to lock up. And then, you know, the next night, Elfrid Payton would drop 27, or, you know, so things like that. It just maybe he'll have the energy to do it more consistently on a team where he's not, you know, expected to cover his, you know, carry as heavy a burden. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's sort of situational, I think is the best way to put his defense.
Yeah, I think his overall hustle is just going to be a positive on any end of the court. You know, sometimes it plays out for the better, sometimes it doesn't. He averages a steal and a half over his career, you know. So he'll go out there and he'll make some defensive plays every night. I think combine that with the defensive roster that we already have, I think he's going to fit in just fine. And most likely excel in it. You know, if you've got everybody else on the team that's able to lock down their guy and make good rotations, I think it's going to help him tremendously on both ends of the court.
So the Wizards were one of the worst defensive teams in the league for the first, I don't know, month and a half. And that's partly because the perimeter defense was bad and Russ wasn't good with the injury, but there was also just sort of no additional help. There was no stoppers around him or anything like that. And there was definitely no one for him to like funnel to under the basket. They eventually traded for Daniel Gafford, and now you have like a rim protector and a shot blocker, and they were a top 10 defensive team when they made that run, you know, the last third of the season. And I think Westbrook upped his game when he had more help around him, and they'll definitely have more help around him in LA.
I hope so. I think having a training camp with Coach Vogel and his staff, along with, you know, AD, right, and LeBron James, I think it's going to be a good year for Russell Westbrook defensively. I think people really, the narrative like that his defense, I laughed about it when I asked, but honestly, I think that narrative is kind of a little false, right? I think he's great at pressuring the ball and makes himself like annoying, like super annoying to the other team if he allows it. Like one of the games that caught my eye, and Matt, you and I were talking about this before we recorded, was the game against the Warriors back in April, right? Curry just only scored 18 points. He went 2-for-14 from three, and it ended Steph's 11 straight games, right? The run where he was scoring at least 30 points. So I just think that Russell Westbrook was one of the reasons why that Steph Curry was neutralized there in that game. And I think, I mean, even he even said so post game, right, that he really took it himself a challenge to start the game and make sure that he didn't continue his streak. So I think this is you know, the Russell Westbrook that we're going to hopefully see, maybe not throughout the season, but maybe at points, but I'm sure that this is going to pick up and it's going to be get more intense as it gets more into the postseason. But yeah, I think just having Vogel, that training camp, I mean, if Kuzma can become a mediocre defender to becoming one of the great defenders on the Lakers squad for the last two seasons, then Westbrook can do the same thing. By the way, congrats on having Kuzma.
I'm actually excited about it. I wanted to turn the tables here a little bit and just see what you guys thought about the guys we're going to get. But I actually have high hopes for Kuzma.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Kuzma, man. We're gonna miss him. But I'm expecting big things from him because every time a Laker is pawned off, they get really big.
They always end up on the Wizards somehow, too.
Yeah, they really do. You guys have gotten Thomas Bryant, Isaac Bonga. I don't know
Wagner,
who else.
I mean, we're literally the Lakers JV team at this point.
You guys are. You guys are the Lakers JV team. Hey, the funny thing, though, is just like what Yoa said, whenever we pawn them off, they always end up doing really good things. I think Kuzma's at that point in his career where he's going to turn a corner and he's going to start doing well, especially with a different role to play. I think he kind of was limited a little bit in his role with the Lakers, but hopefully going over to the Wizards, it'll give him a little bit better of an opportunity to shine.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, man. Hey, Matt, thank you again for joining the pod. I appreciate you hopping on. Guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcast. Subscribe and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate the follows and all the reviews. It'll help us continue to produce this show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod and on Instagram at #Lakers. Guys, with that said, have a great day. Root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.